You're listening to episode 87 of Power Pearls Podcast, intuitive, purpose-driven yarn crafting to empower your knits and pearls. This episode is brought to you by the Power Pearls community on Patreon. If you love the podcast, you can show your love by supporting the show. With your contribution, you're helping me to produce the art of the spoken word. To learn more about supporting the show, visit powerpearlspodcast.com/community. Hey there. So before we get started with this episode, I just wanted to ask you a few questions. Do you struggle with an area in your yarn crafting business and you're not really sure where to go? Or maybe you want to start a creative side gig, but you're just not sure of all the nuts and bolts to get started. Then let me help you. With more than 15 plus years in the yarn craft publishing world as a magazine editor, an illustrator, and designer, I'm able to pay forward the knowledge that I've gained. So let's hop on a call and let's get you to walk away with a win. So go to caragotwarner.com/work with Cara to set up a time to chat and let's see if working together is a good fit. So on with the show and I hope you enjoy this episode. Well, hello, Tabitha. Thank you for joining me for another episode.
I'm happy to be back.
Today, we're talking about how to start small and go deep, right? So picking one area, because this is a crazy big one. I struggle with this big time. Just this morning, I was thinking again, like, oh, I should do that thing. Then I was like, oh no, I'm doing it again. And then you go down the rabbit hole, but start small and then go deep on that one area because there's so many spokes to the wheel, right? So how to focus on one offering, one thing, if you're in business, and then drill down and focus on the many ways to market. And yeah, like I just said, you know, the many spokes.
It's funny you bring that up because so many people get, I'm thinking of this book that I read, The One Thing. Who was author of that? The One Thing.
That's Jay Papasan and yes. Gary Keller.
Yes. So yeah. I remember reading that. And then, you know, you're part of the Facebook group where everybody talks about it. And so many people get hung up. Well, if I'm only supposed to do one thing, does that mean I can't do the marketing for that thing? Because that's a different thing. Or if I can't do the setup stuff I think a lot of people overthink this one thing.
Definitely.
That it's just choosing one big project or big task to focus on and then putting your energy into everything to push that task to completion. You know what I mean? Whether it is marketing and time management and, you know, you still have to do all the emails and the answering and the social media and all of that kind of stuff. It's not like your whole day is devoted to that one thing. You still have to devote time to your day to the other minutia of your day. But the majority of your work block, if that's what you do, or the majority of your work day or your schedule is going to be focused to wrapping around and completing that one thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that in the book, they have different ways of looking at that one thing as far as, so there's that, what you just mentioned. But the other thing that really does help me, because I mean, I need to kind of switch gears back to the daily one thing, the one thing at a time thing in spirituality, and then the one thing in work, and then the one thing in family or whatever.
Yeah,
seven different quadrants that they have. Right. But another way to look at this is the overarching one thing. So like from the business perspective, for me, it's like, okay, I am a business coach. I'm a self-development coach. I help creatives, create the lives of their dreams, whatever. Yeah.
Right.
But, but I mean, that one thing, like I am pushing all the energies in that direction and remembering that overarching thing in my business. And that's who I want to serve. And then all the sub things underneath it, like, yes, like you said before, oh, I have to do my newsletter this week. And then I'm going to do my live video to talk about, you know, the Patreon group, right, and how to, you know, hey, if you support me, you get X, Y, and Z or whatever. And so all these little things, they take time and energy, and they are part of that overarching one thing.
Yeah.
But another way I look at my, from a practical standpoint, like let's say, so Friday is my video day.
Mm-hmm.
And let me back up. So Thursday is the day I plan for Friday. So I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
But Thursday, I pick three things. I have this full, it's called the full focus planner. So it's Michael Hyatt. I don't know, mm-hmm, if you, mm-hmm, you know.
I have seen Michael. That planner.
Yep. So you've got three, mm-hmm, things, three big things for the day. Three big things. And it's like, those are non-negotiables. So like on Thursday, I didn't do Thursday yet, but I started. So I have video prep.
Right.
That's a little bit too
vague.
So yeah, what I do is I'll write underneath that, write script, whatever. There's several other different things, but certain things that fall in that video prep category that are non-negotiable, that if I don't get to those on Thursday, Friday morning is an overflow. Friday is the day that I'm doing the video, but I still have time. So that's another way of looking at the one thing for me, anyway. Maybe you tell me if this is completely makes sense, but like, it's all video. It's all about video today, for the most part.
That's called making it a theme day. That works really great. Mm-hmm. But I think it boils down to just because I want to lose 10 pounds over here doesn't negate everything else that I have to do in my life, like cook for my children and run errands. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's that same kind of premise. Just because I have this one design that I'm working on right now doesn't negate the fact that I still have to handle social media and promote past work and answer, mm-hmm, emails and pattern support questions and handle my tech editors. You know what I mean? So I think it's just, for me, my one thing is meeting that overall arching one thing. What is my goal? And my goal is to produce quality patterns that get people excited and wanting to knit and wanting to buy more yarn for. That's my overarching one goal. And so everything that I do supports that. When I am working with one particular project, I have a very specific to-do list, and I work through that to-do list on a schedule. And so that's just how I push things, mm-hmm, forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. And you know, I do think though there is a lot of information out there that can be confusing, and then some people misunderstand or not misunstand, but
just overthink. They overthink.
Right, and they have their own thoughts about the one thing and how that's supposed to be, how you're supposed to look at it. And like you even said yourself, like someone might be thinking, okay, then I can only do this one thing and everything else I can't. So, so nothing gets done.
My one thing is knitting. That does not negate the fact that I still have to do housework.
Ooh, that's a really good one thing. Let me talk about this for a second. Because I think this is going to appeal to these, you know, those of you that really are thinking, how can I apply this to my life and business, especially since I want to, you know, I love knitting, but I want to see how I can turn it into a business. Well, when I was a designer, illustrator, then I became the editor of Creative Knitting. All of those things happened because of my one thing, mm-hmm, which was indirect, if you think about it, my one thing, which is my passion for knitting, just like you said, Tabitha.
Yeah.
All those things happened because I am, and still to this day, I'm crazy passionate. I love to knit. I wish I could knit all day. Really? But then I realized, and it took me a while to figure it out. It's like, oh, if it wasn't for this passion. So this passion has been working in the background, you know, and, mm-hmm, and always there, leading me down the path to everything I do, even to this day. So even though knitting all day and binging on Netflix will not pay the bills,
right,
but it technically is paying the bills and has paid the bills, because I knew I could be expressing that passion to a degree as an editor, but I also had, you know, it gave me experience.
Yeah.
To use that as an editor. Then, of course, the technical experience of designing patterns. When I was an illustrator, I made my success as an illustrator, as a technical illustrator, creating almost, 90% was knitting technique, drawings, hand drawings, renderings, schematics, charts, right? But a lot of hand drawings, like very specific artwork for knitting books. And, you know, so I think that don't discount the fact that we have this. Think about this passion that you've got right underneath your nose and where and how that's leading you down the path that you're going in right now.
And you devote time to that one thing. That's really all it boils down to, is that one thing. You just say, I'm giving myself 30 minutes a day or an hour a day or whatever it is you want to do that one thing. And when I'm in that one thing, I'm only going to be thinking about that one thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So speaking back to our topic, so we're talking about, you know, picking one thing and drilling down, you know, going deep on that one area and thinking of it like the spokes of a wheel. And so I wrote down some examples in our shared Google Doc here. And I know that you had some things, but I was just going to jump into some of these little tips, I guess.
Please do.
If you think that's a good idea. Because these are some of the things that I've used. So I'm sort of giving advice based on practical experiences that I've had in regards to thinking in this way. And so I'm using the example of, you know, knitting patterns or let's say an e-course or a workshop. So let's see. So we can look at the different ways to repurpose those things. And so here are some of the things that I, you know, have done. Turn a blog post into talking points for a video workshop.
Yeah.
So that's a really good idea. And I've done that for my live videos too, and vice versa. So for me, because I love video, right? So if you're not a big blogger, like I'm not a big blogger, I rather would be on video, but I've done this where I've taken blog posts, turn them into talking points, turn that into a video, and also then taken a video, the talking points from a video, and turn that into a blog post, which is more likely for me to kind of do it the flip-flop way.
Right.
I'll also take the talking points from a video that maybe has become a blog post, can also become a resource guide and a lead magnet for a newsletter list.
Nice.
So if you guys... You guys want to grow your community, right? Just, it's amazing what a PDF, and something that you've talked about or that was in a blog post, if you turn it into a resource guide or a downloadable PDF that someone can print out, it may seem small and like, yeah, who's going to want that? Believe me, people do. We want things that we can touch and feel and that will make our lives easier. So think about, I've seen it happen over and over again and I'm like, wow, okay, that's so awesome, because I am serving a, you know, that need, that people really want that. So look at those little things, those little ways that you can take one item, turn it into three different pieces of content, let's say. Create a booklet by bundling a group of existing patterns. So you've seen that a lot, right, Tabitha?
Yep.
And you could even take that bundle and you could even use it as like almost like a little add-on to a workshop. So let's say you teach like a little mini three session training, like a video training, and you offer the bundle of patterns as the workbook, right?
Yeah.
So the workshop surrounds the booklet, the pattern. So it's not just, oh, another book of patterns. Like people pay for how they pay you for things that make them feel good, or they pay for you because they like you. They pay for you doing the thing that you do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I think that by creating, if video is your thing, which it is my thing, you know, you can really create something that's a little bit more unique. And I've been using the word USP a lot. We talked about this in a previous episode, but that unique selling proposition and also being able to think about your why and tapping into that, remembering that if you're not, like I said before, if you're not a blogger, you like video, get on the video.
Yep.
And I already said this, but develop workshop based on techniques used in one of your patterns. But I didn't really say it like this. But yeah, just a pattern that you've got on mitered, you know, you love mitered knitting and you have a little bundle or a couple of patterns that, you know, you've really celebrated that technique. Well, go ahead and turn it into a mini workshop. You will be amazed. The people that are hungry for this, like people that are, beginners, but maybe they're newer knitters or they're not feeling very confident. So you're giving them the gift of confidence.
Yep.
Where you can repurpose larger parts of a larger e-course and turn it into a free mini course to help promote a larger paid course, peeling off pieces of a bigger course and using that to promote, yes, free to promote something bigger. So yeah, so basically those are just, you know, four quick ways that you could, you know, repurpose and think out of the box where you can really...
It saves you time too. So you don't have to... You don't have to be constantly coming up with new material. It's just going deeper into what you've already done.
Exactly. So what about, and maybe then we can wrap up. So you mentioned, you know, in this context, that, you know, this idea of if you have many, five designs in your head, which one do I start with? But this, this is good. This goes into just in general, like, I want to do five things, or I think that everything on my list is important, which, by the way, is false, right? Everything does not have the same importance.
Exactly.
How do you determine
what to do?
Which thing do you pick, this one thing, and then go deep on that one thing? Like, let's just kind of keeping it in that context for how to start and go deep. Can you share some
insight? Gosh, I hear this question all the time. I mean, I see it across every business Facebook group I'm in. At least once a week, somebody asks this question. I have five ideas. How do I choose which one to do? Or, you know, I have all these different skeins of yarn. Which one do I work with first? Like, it can even go that.
Yes, tell me. I want to know.
My answer is, it's really, you're overthinking. Which one excites you the most? And if you can't decide, then just write them on sticky notes, drop them in a box, and draw one. Because if they're all that equally important, which we know they're really not, then it doesn't matter which one you pick, right?
Exactly.
So either you pick the one that excites you the most and you feel is the most dominant thing, or you drop it in a hat and you draw it out because it doesn't matter at all. I mean, whether you're writing a story or which blog post to start with or what design to start with, it's that simple. Don't overthink it, just because perfectionism is a nasty little hag. I mean, she is just brutal. And one of her tricks,
I hate her.
She's horrible. One of her tricks is to do this procrastination thing and make you go, I don't know, this one or this one, this one or this one. And she's back there going, that one might not be good enough. The reason why you might want to reconsider this one is ABC. So
yeah, but you know what?
You can realize that somebody back there, you've got a thing back there that's purposely trying to trip you up. Just drop them in a hat and draw one out.
Yeah, make a decision and be decisive. Yeah. Because the other thing, and I remind myself of this all the time, because it's like, I don't want to be that person, is the perfectionism. It's really not perfectionism. It's lack of confidence in your decision. There really, I mean, we think,
it is,
we call it perfectionism because we want to feel good about ourselves. Like, we're great. Right. Look, I'm just, I'm such a perfectionist. No, that's not perfectionism. Yeah. That's lack of confidence in and lack of decisiveness in your decision. Yes, you have a lot of ideas. You have a lot of ideas. Make one decision and put the other ones in a later bucket or something. Promise yourself you'll do it later, because the most successful people pick one thing and they go with it. They have a lot of ideas too, but decisiveness is the mark of a successful person.
It is. And if you have to drop them in a hat and draw names, you go, this is project one, then this will be project two, then this will be project three, and you boom, 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 boom. Because the more time you spend saying, I don't know which one to do, is all that time wasted of doing nothing, and you end up with nothing. So just do one, and then suddenly you'll get done with that, and you'll do number two, and guess what? You have five things rather than just five ideas.
That's great. Good advice.
And thank you. I try
so hard. But yeah, that's the thing I tell myself. It's like, no, Kara, you're not being perfectionist. You are just lacking confidence and decisiveness.
Indecisiveness is the symptom of lack of confidence.
And then, you know what? I just follow people, or I look to people, not follow, you know, but like I will say, you know, I think so-and-so, I admire this person and what they've achieved. And it could be someone you know, not doesn't have to be some fancy internet person. It could be some person. Like, I know people in my life that I see every week, you know, out and about, like friends, like, you know, that I want to emulate. Like, I'm like, wow, they are so nice, or they're so kind, or they just know what they want to do, or they think of others before themselves, or whatever it is. Like, you know, I want to aspire to be more like that. And that's the same thing in this case. Like, I want to aspire to be like a successful person and to be decisive and make decisions.
Yep. So make a decision, and then you break it down to all of the baby steps to complete that one thing, and you work through that list. Boom, great. Done. On to the next one.
All right, you guys.
You have to be ruthless.
Yes. So go for it.
Go for it.
Do it. Get to work now. And make it all happen.
That's right.
Now, immediately.
That's right.
No, but you know, we're all a work in progress.
That's right.
So hopefully you guys have enjoyed this, you know, these tips and advice, and that they inspired you. So Tabitha, thank you once again. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Awesome. Get to work, everybody. See you next time.
All right. See ya.